Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of the podcast that you just can't get enough of, that you want to watch constantly, and you can watch constantly because it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube, and it's on thevennetwork.org, where you can just head over there and you can watch from there, because you know that's a good place to watch it. See, I'm multitasking now, so I've lost my focus. But let me go ahead and stop multitasking and come back to the screen and tell you what a wonderful show we have lined up this evening for all of you. Let me tell you just that we are all set. We have all the conversation loaded up, and we are all set to go. So let me stop talking, let me stop filibustering, and let me throw it over to the man of the hour, ladies and gentlemen, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum, peace and greetings to all of you. We welcome our listeners once again tonight, where we are discussing the topic of your selection here on YouTube. And alhamdulillah, by the grace and mercy of Allah, we've taken this new platform and we found it to be very clear and easy to navigate, but we have stopped experiencing the glitches that we were having constantly over the last few months with Facebook Live. So we just want to explain to our listeners that we appreciate their patience as we transition from a platform that was known to everyone to a new platform. But keep in mind, we're always going to be here, inshallah, by the will of Allah, every Tuesday night with you, our listeners, as we engage in sparking discussions and dialogues across the globe and for generations to come. So as Brother Carl is preparing to send out a tweet letting our listeners know where we are on YouTube, and then we just did the same thing on Facebook, we want to let you know that tonight, all the topics that we had discussed, we had a very interesting vote. The topics I feel are very contemporary and important to discuss. But nevertheless, we are going to dive in for the majority of our time tonight on the topic that was selected to be the winning topic, where most of the votes went. But before we do that tonight, I want to first hand it over to Carl to let us know what were the topics that we had sent out on our Twitter poll, what the response was, and I want to discuss two things tonight before we get into the topic itself. Brother Carl?
Thank you for that eloquent introduction, sir. I very much appreciate that. So our Twitter poll this week, as it can be found every week, is on Twitter, which I think I just said Twitter poll is a Twitter's on the polls on Twitter. Go figure. We post it every Monday from the Venn. Actually, it's from Venn Network. You can find us up there at Venn Network. And we post this every Monday so that we can let you guys control what the conversation is going to be this week. And this week, as I'm looking at this, we ran the poll with what molds the future? What controls what the future looks like? The next question was, how do we recognize inclusion? The next question was, why war isn't a solution? And the last choice, which is always my favorite because you never know what you're going to end up with, was, what's the deal with... And our winner this week, as you can all see now because it's up on the screen, was inclusion. So recognizing inclusion, that's what you guys want to talk about tonight. But as Imam Azhar said, he had something he wanted to address before we start. And before he starts and before I hand it back to him, I'm just going to hijack for just one quick second and just share this little thing that I saw before I came on the air here. it looks like Uncle Joe might be making a run for it, because he said tonight at a conference in Delaware that he wouldn't run without the support of his family. And he said his family approves, and his family said they will support him if he runs, but he said he's not sure yet. So if there's any Uncle Joe fans out there besides myself, the opportunity may be on the horizon. Over to you, sir.
Well, not to get into politics tonight, because that's a dead subject for many. After Bernie announced his run less than a week ago, amassed over 1 million volunteers and almost $10 million in funding, where the average fund and donor, where the average donor donated $27 towards the campaign. I think the Democrats know where the campaign is going, and truly we need a game changer, not someone who will continue to run with the status quo. I don't want to say more. I respect Joe. I respect what he stands for. I truly do. But again, this one is Bernie's, and I believe if the Democrats try to pull a sly one like they did last time, it's only gonna, you know, put the tombstone on their grave for generations to come. But Carl, we're not here to talk about politics. We're not here to talk about Joe Biden. Good luck to Joe and all the other ones whose names have been forgotten because Bernie Sanders has been out front and running. We got two bigger problems I want to talk about tonight. And I know one had to do with a poll. And so we're not going to engage in a discussion, but I want to pass a comment tonight in regards to that topic. And that is the escalating tension in India and Pakistan. Now, of course, we're not here as analysts of war, but we do have a war veteran with us, and that's Brother Carl, who served in the military, and he can tell you firsthand what happens in war and how war isn't the most best solution out there for anyone at any given time. War has proven time and time again to be a failure. Matter of fact, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was sent at a time when tribal warfare was the norm of society, and Islam came to change the status quo and to ensure that people did not continue down that path into oblivion. So we have something happening tonight. There is tensions rising in Venezuela. There's tensions rising in India and Pakistan. And the only thing I can do is to call on people of those respective countries to represent goodness and character and not to fall into this swamp, which is not only murky and dirty, but it's destructive to one's character and one's morale. I know India and Pakistan have a history of rivalry, a sense of pride of nationalism and who they are, but it should not take us to a point where we slander one another, put down each other, only because of the tension that's rising between two political parties that represent two nations. The people represent greater than that. The people are the ones who are the face of the nation. So again, respect, love, peace, and of course, prayers are needed tonight for that situation. But Carl, as I said, it's a topic I don't want to go into because it was not one of the topics that were selected in our poll tonight. But there's another topic of great urgency that was not on our polls that we are finding out tonight. Another layer as we peel away on this onion of what I want to term, Carl, immorality and inhumane actions. Tonight we find out that over 4,000 children were abused. 4,000 children were abused. I'm going to keep on saying this until everyone wakes up. 4,500 children were abused in government custody. I want you all to understand, we've gone from the discussion of separating children from parents on the border. We've gone from the discussion of these camps where children are being housed or kept or jailed, whatever you want to call it. Tonight, we're finding out that not only are thousands of them missing and unable to reunite with their families, but 4,500 children were abused. And I want to explain what I mean by this, sexually abused. Again, everyone, sexually abused under the care of our government workers. Let me just say this in a nutshell, Carl. And I want to put some money down on it. A one-way bet, Carl. I'm betting you $500. Right? I'm going to bet you $500 that within the next 10 years, there will be a push for pedophilia to be normalized in our world. Just remember, that's my, I'm putting a bet down on that. You know why? Because there are fractions in our world that are pushing to normalize it. There is discussion happening at high levels where comments are being passed to put this as a slap on the wrist and not as a crime. You got people in Germany trying to pass the law of incest where siblings can sleep with each other. You're talking about the normalization of parent-children relationships. You're talking about a web of undercover child pornography rings that are being exposed by the Canadian government and global, Interpol, that they're finding out that this is a humongous business, and it's a humongous inclination from certain people towards this. I just don't understand what is happening. I wish I could say something, but truly, if you have children or not tonight, you need to think really hard as to where our world is going when 4,500 children were sexually assaulted under the care of our government in this country, where we're supposed to be a safe haven, where we're supposed to be a protection for humanity, where we give hope to the world, and where we give a chance to every human being that comes on our shores. What is happening, Carl? I don't know. But that's all I want to say in regards to this. If you have anything to add, I had spoken about you being a veteran and how India and Pakistan's escalation isn't something healthy. And I also spoke about child pedophilia and how this is going to be normalized in our world. Do you have anything to say on this, Carl, before we move on to our subject tonight?
So I will say, and I'm going to say nothing on India and Pakistan because my news feed is not proper enough. And from what I'm actually seeing, I'm seeing claims that there's a lot of false claims and fake news coming out of India and Pakistan. And I honestly don't know what's going on there. I don't know enough of the background. And so unlike the rest of the internet, I don't know, and therefore I'm not going to comment. I will say, though, that war is never the answer. There's always a better way around. And here, watch me weave all of this together. You ready? So some of you may know G. Willow Wilson, who was the reboot author for Miss Marvel, who created the Pakistani Muslim superhero. She has actually left Miss Marvel, and she has moved on to write the current issues of Wonder Woman. And in the episode of Wonder Woman that I read last night, this was actually the topic, that war is never the answer. That there's always another way. There's always a better way through one way or another. And as a veteran who served in war zones, I'm going to say that. And as for the escalating tensions, I'm not going to say anything because I don't know. However, moving on to your last topic, thanks to South Park, which is not something you'll ever hear anybody say before, but there it is, I can tell you that there is a group, I believe they are called NAMBLA, and their whole goal in life is to get pedophilia legalized, and they have been around for years, and their stance is that the relationship, NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. And again, the only reason I know this is because South Park did a whole episode making fun of them. This is not something I Google. It's not something. But when the South Park did their episode years ago, this was years ago. Mm-hmm. This was at least 15, 16 years ago. I did look it up to see if it was real. And lo and behold, it actually is real, that this whole group of people actually exists that think it's okay for men and boys to be in relationships together. So, yeah. So you owe yourself $5 for that one. And on that, I'll pass it back to you.
Well, the Pope came out with full vengeance against the Catholic priests, and he said that he's going to put an end to what's happening in the Catholic Church. It's just one too many cases. Religion is plagued by this issue, and not just the Catholic faith, but others as well. But then you have people who are in positions of authority and power or influence in society who are who don't think this is a problem. I think that's the best way to say it, who don't think this is a problem. And it's really a problem. It really is a problem. But again, it's a call of the moment for every human being in this country, every human being, to speak out that this is unacceptable. We cannot even fathom the thought that children are being separated. If they're illegal, they're undocumented, turn them around, close the door, let them go back home, let them figure it out. We're housing them, we're bearing the cost with our tax dollars, and now we're finding out that in addition to the not so conducive circumstances that they're living in, we're finding out that they're being sexually assaulted. This is scary. It's not the country that we are. It's not the people that we define ourselves to be. We are much greater than that. I'm hoping and I'm confident that inshallah the president and others will chime in and they will make clear that this is not acceptable and they will do what they need to do to ensure that this doesn't continue and the perpetrators committing such heinous crimes are prosecuted on the highest degree of the law. But again, yeah, that's just unfortunate reality. And that's why Raw Islam is what it is. It's because every day we are coming to you with a program, but something happens or transpires between the time of what we decide to discuss and what ends up becoming part of the discussion. And since it's Raw Islam, we just want to let you know in Islam, pedophilia is forbidden. We want to let you know that it is forbidden, forbidden, forbidden. And no, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, wasn't a pedophile. And no, he didn't marry an underage child. He married a girl who had reached the age of puberty and she was mature because in Islam, you're allowed to marry anyone who passes the age of puberty. Numbers are not part of the game at that time because maturity it's indicative that they're maturing now that they're past the age of puberty. And that is when a person can get married. If in some society that means 18 or 20, or some societies that mean 8 or that means 12 or 13 or 14, it all depends on the climate, it depends on the food we eat, depends on the hormones inside our bodies. It's a whole lot of things. If you look into history, you look at European history, look at the kings of Europe, they married children of very small ages, but in Islam, we make it very clear that it is forbidden for anyone to marry a child, period. It is forbidden for anyone to have a relationship with a child, period. It is forbidden for anyone to have a relationship with anyone of the same gender, especially a child, period. So these things are very clear in our faith. There's no ifs and buts about it. And if any one of our listeners has any thoughts or concerns to this, they can clearly email us, reach out to us, and we'll be willing to talk with them in regards to this. But yes, pedophilia was never given a green light in Islam, nor was it given a green light to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So I'm just setting the record straight when we are talking about this topic of discussion. Carl?
So before we continue, I just want to take a brief moment to thoroughly embarrass someone, because this is a very happy moment for me, because it shows that our audience is very fluid. And I would like to say assalamu alaikum to Sister Layla, who has joined us on YouTube and is in the chat room now. So assalamu alaikum, Sister Layla. Thank you for joining us on YouTube. I'm very excited that see, people will come. If you build it, they will come. Anyway, back to you, sir.
So I don't want to say we build it, they'll come, we facilitate it, and they will all gather. So alhamdulillah. So tonight, Carl, we're talking about inclusion. And again, the myth of inclusion when we see sound bites. So understand this. I'll give you the analogy here. Gas was once in the upper $3, if you remember, Carl. And there was I think it was on Nightline. They talked about how these people were printing those numbers because they felt gas was going to go to 4, 5, 6, whatever. And of course, many gas stations didn't have plenty of that number. And so they were printing them and making them, customizing them based on order. But of course, we never saw, alhamdulillah, thank God, we never saw gas go into $4, $5, $6 because we would be stuck. All of us would be stuck and we wouldn't be able to drive our Hummers and our GMC Yukons and our Suburbans and our, you know, extended versions with extended trunks and so on and so forth. But when gas went down from 3 to 2, you're like, man, gas is so cheap. Forgetting Carl, I know you remember, and tell me if I'm wrong, gas used to be under a buck. Yes or no?
So years ago, my father actually used to own a gas station. Mm. And this was back in, you know, the 80s. And yes, the cheap level gasoline, because I'm prissy and I put the high level stuff in mine because I want my engine to last. But that cheap stuff was like 97 cent a gallon. And I remembered having to put, I remember helping my dad change the sign, 0.95 per gallon. But that was only if you used cash. If you used card, it was a dollar and some change because there was a different price. But yes, it was under a dollar in the 80s.
So when you look at this, Carl, we're talking about that was the norm, right? Gas used to be like around a buck something, buck and change. And then it went high and we were just trying to understand why it was going so high, but we had no choice. We couldn't talk much about it because wars were ongoing and so on and so forth. And then the refineries in Houston needed to shut down or in Louisiana because they needed maintenance. And so the gas prices kept on going up and then it fell back down. So right now the norm is around the country, gas is around $2, 205 here. I was up in Idaho, it's 209. And so the gas price is kind of the same everywhere. We're like, man, thank God for cheap gas. But you're actually paying 100 times more for gas than when once upon a time it was a norm. But what happens is when you push forward and you pull back a bit, people consider the norm to be that, not what it used to be before the push forward. See, there was a time in our world when people didn't regard each other's race as being the defining factor. And then what happened? We had the rise of supremacy, the white supremacists, and so on and so forth. What led to the height of racism against the African American community, the Japanese community, the Asian community. And then we kind of saw a pullback, a few steps. And what we're doing today is we're celebrating that little pullback and saying, man, we got such a open, broad-minded society. They understand us. They're including us. Like, for example, what do we have over the weekend? It was the Grammys, right? We had the Grammys over the weekend.
Oscars.
So in the Oscars, you know, when we talk about the movies that won, the actors that won, there was an Arab actor who won. Also, his name was, I think it's Malik or something.
Rami Malek,
best actor. Egypt in the house. And then we have Mahershala Ali, who won a best supporting actor. We're seeing diversity. We're seeing ethnicities. We're seeing colors. We're seeing tongues. We're like, man, you know, everyone's open to an inclusive society. We're treating this as if this was never the norm. And now we're getting somewhere. This is not called progress, my friends. Don't consider this to be progress because a few people of different race and ethnicities and backgrounds, immigrants or Arabs or African-American are stepping up on the stage and receiving an award for the best actor, best supported actors in the Oscars. You have to remember, we looked at talent as talent. We didn't look as people that define that talent. We looked at advancement of whatever was brought to the table for the betterment of humanity and civility, not who it was that was bringing it to the table. There was a person who invented a water car, a car that ran on water in the 80s. We don't know what happened after that. It just became a gray area. Thing was, it's not about who does it and what he does or she does. It's a matter of recognizing the good work and not trying to highlight people in order to get some fanfare. And that's exactly where we are today. If we see that a Muslim player in a basketball team or a soccer team or a football team can do something Islamic, we're like, oh man, the country is so open-minded. They're open to inclusion. No, we just went from the lack of inclusion one step back. We went from $4 gas to $3. Don't think it's all yippee-i-doo-da. You know, it's not all that. We used to be $1 gas, okay? So $3 is 300% more, where $2 is 200% more. We are still a long ways to go. So is inclusion a myth? Is it what we see it to be? Or do you, as a listener, feel there has to be more work to normalize a situation where the color of a person's skin, or the language that they speak, or the ethnic background that they come from, or the country of their ancestors or their mother doesn't define them? Carl, we're at the end of Black History Month, last few days, and there's a lot that's been reflected upon. We hear those stories of Malcolm X once more, and Muhammad Ali, and Martin Luther King, and Rosa Parks, and all the people, the scientists of NASA, and all the great women and men folk that did something. But remember, their goodness didn't have to be highlighted because of the race that they were affiliated with or the color of their skin. So we have still a lot of work to do. And people who prematurely applaud these situations are normalizing the racism that was one step ahead of where we are and thinking moving one step back, we're progressing. No, we're still moving into abyss. So how do we, Carl, how do we restore humanity and civility where these things aren't seen? Where do we restore it that it's beyond the Grammys and the Oscars and the Player of the Year or the Golden Boot Award? Where do we move to see this as a much bigger picture and not just a soundbite, Carl?
So you touched on something, and I'm a little hesitant to share 100% of my feelings on this, because you and I haven't touched base at all, and I don't want to drop this in your lap. But it's I'm a fan of Marshall Ali, and I like his work and the things I've seen him in, and he was in movies I didn't even know he was in. And he's really good. But when it, and this is specifically about inclusion. This is what I'm talking about. And it really does come back to, we need to fix our own house before we try to fix the world. And you and I know that there are divisions within the Muslim community, specifically two big ones, or one big one, and we need to repair that before we can go into the world and say, okay, Jim Crow laws were wrong, and we need to, you know, fix this, and we need to fix that. And most of all, as a white male in America in 2019, I don't belong in this conversation. It's for me to shut the hell up and listen, because it's not my job. I'm not going to white-splain. I'm not going to mansplain. It's not my job. It's not my place. I think when we're off air, I do want to share a frustration I have with you. But I like I said, because we're live right now, I don't want to drop this on you because it would be a bombshell. And no, go ahead.
What I want to say, Carl, is I agree with you and I disagree with you. I agree with you that there's, like, the Green Book, it won the best film of the year. Like, many people may have not seen it, but as you explained to me, I was one of the people who have not seen it as yet. And you explained to me how it was a real book that allowed people of of African descent, the Black community, to know where to go, where to lodge, where to eat, where to hang out, because there wasn't a safe zone everywhere for them. So it's basically the yellow pages for the Black community. And, you know, this is exactly the problem, that a film is being produced to highlight what transpired in the past. It's so real. It's so real. Many people of the Caucasian descent cannot understand this. Go ask someone from the Jewish community what it meant to walk about in Europe at the time when Hitler was about. They couldn't walk into every Hardee's or McDonald's. I know they never existed, but I'm giving an idea. They couldn't walk into every Hilton hotel or Holiday Inn because the security wasn't guaranteed for them. But the security was guaranteed for others. So how is that double standards happening in our world? Now this film is made, it's produced, it wins Best Supporting Actor, Best Movie. But think about it. There was some inconsistencies in the movie itself, as some people have already said. But we're celebrating this as we're talking about inclusion. We're talking about how our history was so wrong and we're getting so better right now. No, you're not. No, you're not. We have a green website, maybe. We don't have the green book, but we have the green website. Because remember, yellow pages are no longer on a book form. You find them online. You know, this thing's called Craigslist and something else. You know, people that look for advertisements and things online. What's happening is the situation's still there. And just because we went 20,000 steps forward and one step back to say, hey, we recognize this was a hard time, but we're not willing to address it. We're not willing to fix it. We're just kind of telling you what happened in history. So kudos to the African community for hanging tight when things were rough. And we're going to move on now with the next movie. It's not going to solve a problem. So inclusion isn't some myth. Inclusion isn't a Disney song. Inclusion isn't that we're going to just tell you what happened and we're going to move forward thinking life will get better. Life doesn't get better until you make it better. And Carl, what I disagree with you is, yes, you are a white person in a discussion that's talking about race, but your seat on the table is equally important, because if you feel that your voice isn't important, then the people who are using the color of your skin to say that their thoughts are important are taking away the mic from you. So we need everyone on the table. We need the Jews. We need the Muslims. We need the people of color and different ethnicities and races. We need minorities across the board to come and hold the mic and say, you know what? This is our karaoke night and we're going to talk about it. And we're not only going to talk about what we know, we're going to talk about what we're going to do to solve it. Now we're talking business. Now we're talking that this is a change. Remember, it was when the white community stood alongside with Martin Luther King. It was people like Bernie Sanders, the people who stood alongside, which changed the demographics and the dynamics in the equation in this discussion, which was predominantly, it's legal, it's okay to lynch a Black person, it's okay to enslave them, it's okay to torture them, it's okay to kill them. The cops will come and give you a high five. They're not going to arrest you, because these were people that had to die. They were like cockroaches, God forbid. This is not going to happen anymore. So the discussion of inclusion shouldn't be a myth. It shouldn't be a story that's on a movie. It shouldn't be part of the 91-94 Grammys. It needs to be something deeper and broader. And that's why we're sparking that discussion tonight, that eradication of racial discrimination has to end in 2019. And you need to be part of that discussion. Carl?
So I see we've actually passed the 30-minute mark now, but we do want to just take a moment or two just to point out some comments, mostly by Layla, in our sister Layla in our chat room here. She says that she does not ever remember gas being under a dollar, and I want to thank her for making me feel incredibly old. She also says that she has not seen Green Book as of yet, but she is interested in watching it. As am I. Personally, I like my movies, but I'm very much into my video on demand because it doesn't require pants, so I'm just waiting for that. But she has seen Roma, which I have not seen, so I'm just dragging my feet on that one because I think most of it is subtitled, and so I have to be like rested and pay attention to that. But yes, everybody's voice is important, and we need to work together. But I understand what you're saying, but I think what I'm saying is that if we agree on something, I will support it. But it's listen, and this is real. This is history. This is real. It was white people that went from Europe down into Africa years ago. It was the white people that did the Crusades. It was the white people that came from Europe here and caused the Indian Trail of Tears and the genocide. A genocide, by the way, that actually ended up causing a minor climate change, but that's beside the point. And so we've done enough damage for a moment. Maybe it's time we sit back and listen to the ideas and say, hey, that's good. We support that. How can we help? And I think that's kind of my standpoint on the issue, because I mean, even South America, white people went down to South America. Look what Spain did down there. So, I mean, that's kind of where I come from on. That's my viewpoint on this. But with that, I will hand it back to you for final thoughts.
Brother Carl Hunt, I think that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to provoke these discussions and conversations, because when we don't talk, we won't think. If we don't think, we won't do. And if we don't do, we allow things to be done to us. And then we can only complain. And Raw Islam is where we talk about the issues, may they be political, maybe they're related to sports, maybe related to culture, or anything else. We want to talk so you can talk and you can continue the conversation and you educate us. Thank you for tuning in to Raw Islam, where the discussions are real, where the conversations have a touch of Islam to it. That hint of Islam is only to give guidance and direction to our Muslim folk, that we don't get stuck in books and think our religion is all about writings. Our religion is a life. It's about actions. It's about living. It's about feeling. It's about connecting. It's about doing. And it's about making. So, Carl, I'll give you the honors to say the closing remarks.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of another episode, episode 77 of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. You can learn more about this show and other shows on the Venn Network by going to vennetwork.org. And while you're up there, make sure you check the website and you're looking down the bottom and you can get some super cool swag like what I'm wearing right now. It helps support the network, it helps support the shows, and it helps support the host so that we can reach more people, so that we can help spread this message, and we can do good, man. Yeah. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at Venn Network, so you can take part in our polls on Mondays so that you can control the conversation on Tuesdays. Yay. And make sure that you share this video. Make sure you tell people to subscribe to our channel. If you're not subscribed to this channel, make sure you subscribe. And when you subscribe, make sure you click the little bell, because that way you'll get a notification on your phone, like I did when we started, that said Venn Network is live. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will say Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.